Hi, guys. Are you sitting way in the back? Is that where you want to sit? Apparently, that's where they want to sit, right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray this evening that you'd open our eyes and let us behold wondrous things out of your law. Give me the wherewithal, Lord, to preach this message, how you'd have it to be preached. Power and conviction from on high, I pray that you'd open our eyes and soften our hearts that we may be dealt appropriately tonight, whether it's conviction or whether it's comfort. Help us, Father. I pray everything said and done would be for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, let's go to verse number 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. This book of the law, no, that's not it. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to preach tonight about a forgotten commandment. What did the Lord say? Did he command him or not? Well, has he commanded us to be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. I believe, maybe not historically, but spiritually, aren't we supposed to be like Joshua? Is the Lord on our side? Are you on his side? Well, sometimes that's the problem, right? All right, so what do we got here? Well, that's going to break this down into three parts. Okay, four parts. A couple more years, I'm going to get this right. I promise you. Be strong and of a good courage. Illustration, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, keep your hand in Joshua 1. We're going to come back. 2 Corinthians, conveniently located after 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Start in verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And you got trouble? Now, if anybody was strong and of a good courage, it had to be Paul. Because we just read, what did we just read? 4 or 5 verses? I mean, he went through some stuff, didn't he? And I know one thing for sure, he finished his course. He kept the faith. I heard a preacher say one time, every time Paul went into a new town, the first thing he asked is, where's the jail? Because that's probably where he was going to end up, right? But what are we complaining about, Christians? It just doesn't go our way. Well, maybe it's not supposed to go your way. Maybe your way isn't the right way. I mean, it's possible, right? Anybody here ever drove down a one-way street the wrong way? Anybody? Now, how long did it take you before you decided you were going the wrong way? Or did you just say, I don't care. I'm going this way. That's how I'm going to keep going. And yet we won't go the way God's way right? And shouldn't we turn around right away? Well, was Paul strong and of a good courage? All right, let's look at some verses. Everybody knows Philippians 4:13, right? All right, what's it say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So how many things can you do? And how you're going to do them? So if you're not doing it, you're not doing it through Christ. Is that true? You know what Paul did? Everything he did was through Christ. He was strong and of a good courage. All right, if that's where you're going to treat me, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got verses for you, kids. 2 Timothy chapter 2. When I went to school and we had to preach, I thought, well, I never preached before. I didn't know what to do. So I just looked up a word, looked in the concordance. You know, I was a young Christian, so I looked in the young concordance. Then I got older, I was kind of crude, so I looked in crude's concordance. And now I'm pretty hefty Christian, so I look in Strong's concordance. Well, I got three to choose from, right? So I look up a word, and then I look in the Bible, and I find all the words that had to do. And I mean, you can just preach. How many words can you preach? Over 790,000 words in the King James Bible. Now, I know some of them are repeated, but still. All right, where'd we go? 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong and of good courage. That's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Start in verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Strong and of a good courage. It's the power of Christ that gets us through, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 6, you know it, I know it, we all know it. Ephesians chapter 6, let's look down there in verse number 10. Be strong in who? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So, are we going to be strong and of a good courage? Well, here's what God said. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Can we escape God? Well, he knows what we're going through. You know the thing that always amazed me? Why the Lord would come down here, leave a perfect place, and come down here and be a person. I mean, he knew, didn't he know what it was like before he come down here? And he came down here anyway. I mean, you're saved, right? You know what we do sometimes? We take it for granted. We really don't have a clue of what the Lord had to go through in order for us to be saved. I mean, willingly die on a cross for you. they had to hold the other two people down while they put nails in their hand and feet. They didn't hold Jesus down. He willingly laid down and let them do it to him. We're talking about the creator of the universe. The Bible says he could call down 12 legion of angels. That's 1,000 is a legion. And there's a verse in the Bible that says one angel killed 185,000 in one night. I mean, he could have just wiped everything out, started all over again. And he had the audacity to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we murmur and complain. And we badmouth people. You know what I discovered about 3 or 4 years ago? Someone does me wrong. I don't pray, God, get them. I say, Lord, be so good to them that they'll change their mind. Amen. Because the Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, if I do something wrong to you, I don't want you to have God get me. I want you to have God be so good to me that I change my attitude, right? All right, second part of Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid. You know, courage is the armor that the blind man wears. A callous scar of outlived fears. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. Amen. We have a mighty God. And I have a verse in the Bible, and so do you, it says we can boldly come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to show you something that I found out. Maybe I come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy so I can help somebody else that I don't like. To obtain mercy, right? Sometimes I need mercy. Am I supposed to be kind to people? Whether I like them or not? Well, then I need mercy. Right? I can boldly come to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy, right? And find grace to, well, that's what it says. All right, so be not afraid. You know what it says in 1 Samuel? Well, let's look. Keep your hand in Joshua. 1 Samuel, well, let's go for 17. And we're talking about a man called David, a young man, probably, we know he was less than 20 because he wasn't in the battle. So if you had 20 years old or older, you were in the battle. So he was probably a teenager of some kind, right? David was. Amen. But look what it starts here and how he handled all this situation here. Genesis 17, starting in verse 45. 1 Samuel, I'm sorry. I said Genesis, but I missed 1 Samuel, right? Okay, all right. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Amen. Be strong and of a good courage. I mean, he was so tiny, he couldn't even put on the armor that was given to him. So he not only faced the giant, he ran towards him. And you know what was pointed out to me? The giant didn't put on a helmet. Anywhere in that verse do you see where he put on a helmet? And David slung that rock, smacked him on the forehead. He fell to the ground. He ran over there and jumped up on top of him and cut off his head. Let me ask you a question. What's the giant in your life? We all have one. It seems to put us under and put us under and keep us down. Who's the giant? Well, give the giant to God. Let God take care of it. Anybody here have trouble getting to sleep at night? Worrying about stuff? Well, here's what you do. You get a piece of paper and you write down all your conditions, things that are keeping you up, and you put it to the side of the bed and you say, God, I'm going to go to sleep now. I want you to worry about this. I'll get it back from you in the morning. He's going to be up all night anyway. Let him worry about it, right? And you'll get some sleep. My wife, praise God, she's in heaven now. What a thing. I'm so jealous. I'm still here. Anyway, I didn't know she had it, but I, you know, because she passed away in March 30th. And I'm still going through stuff. Sometimes it's hard to go through stuff. And I found this little thing. It's like a pill box. She called it her God box. So I took the lid off and I opened it up. There's little pieces of paper in there. And what she did, something would come up and she'd have trouble with it. And she'd write it down on this little piece of paper. She'd fold it and she'd put it in the box and put the top on it. She called it her God box. As soon as she wrote it down on that piece of paper and put it in that box and stopped the lid, she didn't worry about it anymore. Amen. You might want to try that. Get you a little recipe box, right? Little metal 3x5 card, right? Let God take care of it. Right? Be not afraid. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. What time am I supposed to stop? No. You don't tell preachers that. Because I'm talking too much. I'm just going to have to quit. I'll just give you the verses. You look them up later. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Amen. Be not afraid. That's what it says. Be not afraid. God has commanded you to be not afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We said this last night, most of you got it memorized, but what does it say, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? I used to do this, but I got in trouble for doing it, but I used to have children stand up and read verses. I don't do that anymore because I got in trouble because some children can't read. So how many children in here can read? No, don't. If you're an adult, please don't raise your hand. I mean, I know you're a child, but all right. Who can you read? You, yes. You can read. You have a Bible. You know where 2 Timothy is. Did you know where chapter 1 is? Can you read verse 7 for us? You can't? Well, I mean, it's okay. I understand. Is anybody here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, can read? This is yes. Any of the kids want to stand up and read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? Well, go ahead, stand up and read it. Well, I'll let you. Read it nice and loud. All right, I'll be a kid then. I'll read it. How's that? Okay? The Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So be not afraid, right? That's a commandment. Why? Because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear.
That's right.
That's from the devil. What are we afraid of? Well, according to the Bible, we shouldn't be afraid of anything because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? And you got a whole list of stuff, Romans chapter 8, last two verses. So what are we afraid of? The fear of man bringeth a snare, right? So, all right, let's go to this third one. Neither be thou dismayed. Now, dismayed means worried or overly concerned, right? Now, nobody in this room worries, right? My grandmother used to tell me I was a worry wart. And I always thought, what does that look like? You worry so much you get a wart? I thought you only got a wart from kissing frogs, isn't that? Oh no, that's a prince. That's a All right. Worry, worry, worry. Do not be dismayed. Illustration in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We all know about those guys, don't we? You know what happened? The king built this big statue and said everybody had to bow down to it. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "No way, pal. Our God doesn't want us to do that, and we're not going to do it. We don't care what you do to us. It doesn't matter." So, and I'm paraphrasing here. The king got aggravated and he had him heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it had to be heated. And he had the guys grab a hold of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the furnace. And the guys that threw him in got burnt up. That's how hot it was. Now in chapter 3, in Daniel, look at verse number 24. "Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their hair singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." What a thing. And you know the thing that's unique about this? Nebuchadnezzar had no idea about the Son of God, but he said the Son of God. So here's Jesus in the middle of that fire. Didn't get burnt. And they didn't even smell like smoke. Their hair wasn't, I mean, they still had their clothes on. And the guys that threw them in there had already been burned up. They weren't afraid. They knew that God would take care of them. And if it didn't, it didn't matter because God was their God. I mean, what a thing. We worry, we have concerns, we're dismayed. And, well, are you going to heaven? So what is there to be concerned about? Did God promise to feed you? Is he feeding you? Did he promise to clothe you? Is he clothing you? Did he promise to give you a place to stay? Do you have a place to stay? Well, everything else we get is just icing on the cake. I mean, think about it. There's nothing that can hurt us if God doesn't give that situation permission. The devil can't even mess with you. You belong to God. And the devil knows better than to mess with God. Even though he's full of pride and even though he thinks he's going to win in the end, he doesn't mess with the children of God until he gets permission.
Right.
And maybe God will give him permission. I don't know. Sometimes we go through some stuff, don't we? You know why we go through it? We need to learn from it. Sometimes it's a help and sometimes it's a hindrance. But it should always be for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We as Christians should do this on a regular basis. Go to the Lord in prayer. Don't ask for anything. Just spend a half an hour thanking him for all that he's done for you. Start with salvation and work your way up. How many of you woke up this morning? Praise God. Because you didn't have to, right? Can you still see? Still hear? Right? Still smell? Well, all right, so be not dismayed. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I got saved August 6, 1989. I was basically living in sin, and the lady that I was living with supposedly was a Christian. And she told me just before she moved out and went to another state, she said, you need to find a fundamental Baptist church and get saved. I looked in the full book. One of the names of the church in that town was Fundamental Baptist Church. I know she'd never been there. And I thought, well, that must be the place. So I go Sunday morning, and I'm sitting, there are pews, and I'm sitting the very back pew right by the door because I might have to leave. And I'm hanging on to the pew, and there's the plan of salvation. Well, I knew I should get saved, but I'm not going to get up and let everybody know I'm a bum, right? So for some strange reason, I came back that night. And basically, even though it probably wasn't the same message, I heard the exact same thing. You need to get saved. So I waited until everybody left the building. And for some strange reason, the pastor decided to hang around the pulpit. So I got up from the very back and I walked up to the pulpit and I said, I need to get saved. He said, well, come, we'll go back in my office. So we went back in his office, and I sat down in front of his desk, and he said, well, what do you need to get saved for? I mean, didn't he just preach to me that? And I said, well, because I don't want to go to hell. He said, well, what makes you think you're going to hell? And I'm thinking, what is this, 20 questions? I said, because the Bible says that if I'm not saved, that's where I'll go. He said, well, are you a sinner? I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, you need to tell God. He said, you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners? I said, yeah. He said, you believe if you ask Jesus to save you, he'll save you right now? I said, yeah. He said, well, get down on your knees and tell God you're a sinner and ask Jesus to save you. So I got down on my knees and told God I was a sinner and asked Jesus to save me. I got up and he said, well, did you mean it? I said, yes. He said, well, come back Wednesday night and tell the church. Well, I didn't know. So I came back Wednesday night and told the church. And everybody went, amen! I thought, well, this is great. So that was pretty good wisdom for that pastor, wasn't it? So, are you worried? I went to Proverbs, didn't I? Look at verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Praise God. There's nothing I should worry about, even though I do. Are we all on the same page here? We worry, don't we? We don't really have to, but we do. What do you worry about? Sometimes you worry about finances. Sometimes you worry about friends, family. Do you ever worry about yourself? Maybe that's where we ought to start worrying. Lord, help me so I can be a help to someone else. Because if I'm not right, how can I help someone that's wrong? Right? It's supposed to start with me, isn't it? 1 John chapter 5. And let's look at verses 4 and 5. Neither be thou dismayed. The Bible says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Well, look what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Then there's nothing for you to worry about because you have overcome the world. I mean, think about it. There's nothing can happen to you that God's not going to be right there with you. And we'll get into that in just a minute. All right, the last point. No clapping. For the Lord God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Right? A commandment of God. He gives you three commandments. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? Because God is with you. Doesn't matter where you go, he's going to be with you. How do I know that? Psalm 139, starting in verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Okay, who wants to stand up and read that? I know you do. All All right, verse number 7, Psalm 139. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. What a thing. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Take my hand, Lord, and lead me. Take my hand, Lord, and guide me. Take my hand, Lord, and let me walk with you. That's where my safety is. Every one of us should want to be like Enoch and walk with God for 365 years. I mean, think about it. And the Bible says, except two agree, they cannot walk together. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, right? But that's what it says. Does God agree with you? Well, do you agree with God? That's two questions to ask. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, they can't. You're either going to be poor or behind or just not go. But we're supposed to agree with God. We're supposed to have God agree with us. Does he like what you do? All together now. Sometimes. Well, let's go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. I'm a minute over, so please don't count that against me. Isaiah 41, verse number 10. We started with the verse in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And praise God for that. Now look what it says in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, I know he's talking to the children of Israel, but spiritually, brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to camp on that verse. We ought to tell God every single day, Lord, here's what you promised me. You promised me not to be afraid. You promised me not to be dismayed. You promised me that you'd hold my hand and you guide me. And Lord, I need your help. It's like the grandma in North Carolina prayed one morning. She said, Lord, this day I don't want to be aggravated about family. I don't want to be frustrated about the neighbors. I don't want to say things that are wrong. I don't want to think about things that aren't right. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be the Christian that you're pleased with. And Lord, I'm going to get out of bed in a minute, so I need your help. Right? And that should be our prayer. Before I set my feet on the ground, Lord, help me to be the Christian that you're pleased with. Because we all get to hear this someday if we choose to do it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Christian, let me ask you a question. Between you and God, who's in charge? There's a hymn in the hymnal, all this I've given to thee, what hast thou given me? All this I've borne for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I mean, has God been good to you? Have you been good to Him? I asked a missionary once, I'd been saved for a couple months, and I went out to lunch with the pastor and the missionary, and I'm a new Christian. And I'm sitting there in the restaurant, and I asked the missionary, I said, well, how do you know if you're in God's will? He said, well, he said, I pray this prayer, but I'm going to tell you that be careful if you pray it. I said, okay. He said, here's what I pray. I want to do your will, O God. I want to do your will. Take me and break me. Mold me and make me. I want to do your will. He said, be careful when you ask God that, because He just might take you and break you, mold you and make you. Because if you want to do His will, you're going to have to give your will up. And sometimes that's very difficult. But praise God, He'll help us anytime we need help. Pastor?